Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our radio broadcast of the Gospel Pulpit for Saturday, February 21st, and Sunday, February 22nd. It is a great joy to be with you as we, well, basically in this month of February. And I tell you what, I hope you've enjoyed the messages. We're still in the life of David, and we're studying Psalm 11. Many of you tell me you appreciate the study on the life of David, and we've did, I think, 76 sermons on the life of David, and we're at number 35 here. And I don't know how long we'll continue here on the weekly broadcast with this. We may continue for a while. We may not. We're going to be led of the Lord, see what God wants us to do. And so I hope you'll pray for us about that. I hope you'll pray for us also. Have your church pray for us about this new project that we have called Reaching America with the Gospel. We're asking 1,000 people across America to donate $10 a month over the next year. That'd be $120. If you just want to send $120, it'd be fine. And we're tax exempt. We could send you a tax receipt right back in the mail. Not one dime of this money goes to me, but it's going to help us strengthen our ministry, and it'll help us go on some new radio stations for the glory of God. I like to get into some areas where the gospel is not really preached that much, and maybe spread out into some places where that people just don't go much. Amen. So you help me pray that God would set it over. I've been praying about this since September of 2024, and I didn't move fast on this, and God told me. And so now I believe is the time to put this forward to the people. So we're looking for 1,000 people. It could be a church, it could be a Sunday school class, a youth group, a men's group, a ladies group. We have ladies group that supports us. Amen. We have different people, over the years we've had different Sunday school classes and different things. And so if you'd like to get involved with this, I hope you'll do it. Now here's how you do it. Just make a check to GBI and then mail it to us. And our address, GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Or you can give online at gbiradio.org, or you can call our office Monday through Friday. We'll just say 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., okay? 336-356-1560 or 336-372-5700. And they have the capabilities now on these cards. They can set it up where to take it out each month, and then you let them know when you want to stop, okay? And I hope you'll pray about it. And if you want to give for 1 year, you just let them know that. And this is called Reaching America with the Gospel. And I believe this is going to change gospel broadcasting. I believe this is going to help us get in some new areas. Not for Ricky Cawthorn. I want you to understand that. It's not about me and how many stations I can get on. It's about how many souls we can reach for Jesus Christ. Friend, the day is drawing near. The rapture of the church is so close. Amen. Like you can, in the springtime, you can smell rain when it gets ready to smell. You can go outside and just smell. You can smell the rapture. I mean, it's coming, buddy. And the Lord is soon coming. He could come today. He may come before you hear this broadcast. Amen. And if he does, I'll be gone. But I tell you what, he's coming. And so I hope that you'll help me win some people to God. Amen. If you got any questions, contact me. Comments at gbiradio.org or call us, and we'll be glad to answer them. Now let's go to our message today from Psalm 11, verses 4 through 7. I hope the message is a blessing today as we listen. I believe God tries the righteous. I believe God tries our tongue sometimes just to see what we'll say. I believe God tries our thoughts. I believe God wants to know what we're thinking, don't you? I sure do. I believe God tries our time sometimes. Amen. Boy, I know this. I've been through some sickness. And God got a hold of me, and God showed me, man, that I've been wasting time. Now, you go down to a man's on his deathbed, and he's struggling for breath. And you say to him, Henry, what are you doing? I don't believe he's going to look up at you and say, I'm wasting time. Amen. No, sir. No, sir. God tries. Amen. I believe this. I believe this. I believe God tries our toil. I believe God knows our labor for him. He knows whether we're doing right or wrong for him. I believe God tries our talents. I will tell you this. I don't want to use my talents for the devil. If I've got a musical talent and I'm saved, I sure don't want to sing the devil's music. I don't want to play the devil's music. I don't want to dance to the devil's music. I'm not going to. Amen. We got too many saved people, one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Amen. That's right. God's the judge. God tries. Now let's go to verse number 5. Psalm 11, verse number 5. This is in the days of Saul. And David said, "The Lord trieth the righteous." Well, you know what? David was getting ready to go through the biggest trial of his life. God was preparing him. And David was a very smart man at his age to realize that God tries the righteous. The Bible said in Psalm 34, 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." God tries the righteous. By the way, God tests us. I don't get mad at the testing of God. There's been some testing in my life in the last few years. I feel like God's punched the button on the recorder and said, "Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing." But I also realize that God don't ever test anything that He don't use. Amen. And so, brother, I want to be used of God. I'm glad I welcome the trying of God. I want God to search me. I can't live perfect. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes every day that I live. But I want God to have His will in my life. Amen. Verse number 5, he said that God trieth the righteous. Amen. That's what he said. Now, but then he said this, "But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Did you know God don't like the wicked? Now listen, God loves the wicked in the sense He wants you to get saved. But God hates wickedness. Now we as the children of God, we're to love good and hate evil. Did you know that? And we've got it kind of blurred in this day and time. And we're sort of blurred the lines in this day and time between wicked and good. Well, preacher, this is all right. There's a lot of gray area. There's nearly not a lot of gray area coming to sin. Sin's right or sin's wrong. Amen. Amen. That's right. Sin's right or sin's wrong. Psalm 97, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Yea." He said, Let me read this right. Psalm 97, 10. "Ye that love the Lord," that's talking about us, "hate evil." The Bible said, "He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." Let's go back to the first part of that. "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." God said, look, now I love righteous, I hate wickedness, and you ought to hate evil. Somebody said, well, I just don't take a stand. Well, if a good wind come, blow you away, wouldn't it? Let me tell you something, brother. I want to tell you, you don't have to beat on the pulpit and brag about how many stands you're going to take in life. I found out when you do that, you'll fail most of the time. I like men that just calmly take a stand in the right way. They don't even have to raise their voice about it. But when they've stood, you know they've stood. God give us some young preachers in the next generation that will stand for the Bible, not for old time. Amen. I understand what they're saying, but for the Bible. Amen. Not for not standing because grandma stood, but stand because the Bible said so. Stand because God said so. Love the good, hate the evil, brother. We're living in that hour. Amen. 1 John 2:15, talking to the Christian, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." There's some people today, you're listening to me, and you're all caught up in the world. Now, you're saved. You're born again. You're going to heaven. But I tell you right now, you're going to stand before a judgment seat with an empty life. And you're not going to get a little slap on the wrist for that. And you're all the time worried about what sights you can see, what new place you can go. I don't need to see all the sights of the world. I'm going to own it all one of these days. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I figure if God won't show me anything, He'll take me anywhere He wants to go. I've got nothing wrong with you going to Israel. You can't go there. As the time I'm preaching this message, I think it's locked down. You can't get in there right now because of the war. But let me say something about that. I'm going over there one of these days. I'm going to Jerusalem one of these days. I'm going to see the King one of these days. Amen. And so, but let me say this to you. My goal in this world is not things of this world. My goal is not money. Why, some of you, it's a career to you. Now, I tell you preachers something. We need to get preachers out of the career and get them back into the call. You see, if you're a God-called preacher, you ain't going to just quit like a career, all right? Now, I realize you get all little age on, you may have to step out of the pastorate. I understand. I'm a man of understanding. I understand that. But I tell you the truth, I never have understood this retired preacher stuff. I just want to go on record and tell you I'm not a retired preacher. Brother, I'm not going to retire from preaching. God put a call in my life. This is not a career. I do this until I die. This is it. Amen. I do this until I die. Amen. I'm to love my wife. I'm to take care of my family. Family's not first. They're second. I hear that a lot. Family's first. Family's not first. Amen. You take care of your family. You do. But you take care of that calling. Amen. And if you got a good family, you got a good wife, they'll want you to take care of that calling. Amen. My wife wants me to take care of my call to preach. Amen. And there's been many times in my younger days, when we first got married, I was still full of zeal. And I'd say this. She said, well, you better be careful about that. That'll hurt your ministry. Boy, I appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate a wise word or something. Amen. Maybe something I was going to say to somebody. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. My call to preach means everything to me. And I got to hate this old world. Amen. Now look in Psalm 11, verse number 6. If you have a Bible, we're studying Psalm 11. This was written in David's early days. This was written at the time when Saul was king, and Saul was wicked. And basically, he was saved, but he was wicked. So he was wicked. So we see here, as we look on here in verse number 6, the Bible said, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest shall, the Bible said, be the portion of their cup. Now, let me just stop right there. The wicked, for generations, think they're going to get by. They think when they die, their money is going to buy them into heaven. They think that God's going to smile down on them, the movie stars and all this, and the sports stars, and they think when they're going to go into heaven. Let me tell you something. God don't have a ball field in heaven. God don't have a movie studio in heaven. You ever heard this? Well, they're going to that big movie studio in the sky. They're going to that big baseball field in the sky. That's not true. That's not true. That's earthly stuff. Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you go to heaven, but we're not playing ball in heaven. We're not making X-rated movies in heaven. No, sir. And let me just say, the wicked for generations have thinks they're going to get by. But I'll tell you what, the end of the wicked is going to be, they're going to have fire and brimstone rained on them. The end of the wicked is going to be that they're going to be put in hell for 1,007 years after the rapture. They're going to be brought out, stood before the white throne judgment, and they're going to be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone along with the devil. Now, David's just saying here, there's going to come an end to wickedness. And, the people around him may have thought, well, he's talking about in our day. No, he's talking about in future generations too. There's going to be some fire and brimstone raised upon the wicked. You know how people ain't getting saved anymore? Our preachers ain't preaching anything. We've got such a peppy, positive gospel that we have no judgment. And Jesus had judgment. Amen. He said, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, we fail to preach. Now, when you preach judgment, that don't mean that you preach it with hatred in your heart. I don't want to preach on hell and be glad people's going there. Brother, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go to hell. I've got people in hell right now that I should have witnessed to that I didn't. I was thinking about a man last night. God told me 2 or 3 months before that man died to go witness to him. I didn't do it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to face that in the judgment. I've got enough to face. Ricky Cawthorn ain't perfect. I'll tell you that right now. I come on the radio and you hear me preach, and boy, you may think, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not perfect. Brother, I've got a lot to face God for. I don't remember who it was. I heard some preacher say one time, he said, I'm looking forward to the judgment seat. That is one statement I've never understood. I'm not looking forward to it. No, sir, the judgment seat's not a picnic. It's not going to be a play day. Let me just read you what's going to happen to the wicked, though, at the white throne judgment. Let me read you. Revelation 21, verse number 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, and that's the dope people, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You ain't coming out of that one. You ain't coming out of that one. My friend, when you go to hell, that's it. When you leave this life, you've sealed your doom right then and there. When you leave this life, however you leave, saved or lost, the Bible said a tree will lie where it falls. In other words, if it falls toward the north, it's going to lay that way. If it falls toward the south, it's going to lay that way. Amen? When you die, when you take your last breath, whatever you've done with Jesus, that's going to be your future right there. And if they didn't give people all the drugs and the dope and the hospitals nowadays, I'll tell you what, you would see people die in a different manner than what you see them die now. Years ago, before they had all the dope, they would take people would start to die. And people would say, oh, I'm burning. I'm on fire. put me out, I'm on fire. You say, preacher, that's an illusion. No, sir, no, sir. I believe a man knows where he's going when he dies. They tell me that a funeral director told my brother, he said, I'll tell you what I can do. I can look at a man. He said, I can look at a man's expression on his face, and I can tell you whether that man died, lost, or saved. And I want you to understand something, brother. When there's going to come a dying day, and when you die, your soul is doomed right then. You've sealed your doom right then and there. And brother, may it be for Jesus. May you call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me show you what the Bible said. Revelation 20:15. I quoted the verse a while ago. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Now let me tell you something. But let me say this. God loves the sinner. Now you say, preacher, you just said God hated the wicked. He does. But God in this day of grace has given you an opportunity right now to be saved. Did you know God loves you? You say, preacher, I've committed so much wickedness, God don't love me. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said in John 3:16, that great verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible said in Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Amen. Now let me tell you something. Let me read that verse again. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Let me tell you something. Revelation 22:17 says this, and the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, and the bride, that's the church, say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And the Bible said, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. The church is saying to you, come today. The Spirit's saying, come. And the new convert that just gets saved, he's saying, come. And God said, whosoever will, let anybody that will let you come. You say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. God's saying to you today, come. You see, God's going to have judgment on the wicked. David declared that at a young age. David said, man, there's a bunch of sinners around here. God's going to have judgment on them. But David also knew the compassion and the mercies of the Lord. God is still in the saving mood today. We're in the day of grace. God wants you to be saved. The main concern, we spend thousands of dollars every year on these radio broadcasts. And brother, the main concern, I prayed for them this morning. And we want to see people saved by the grace of God. I don't count heads. I don't count numbers. I don't know over the years if anybody or how many people have ever gotten saved as a result of these radio broadcasts. But I know this, you're hearing the word of the Lord. What you do with the Bible is your business, amen. But I want to see you get saved. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl out there that I would not want to see get saved. I would not want to see my worst enemy go to hell without God. No, sir. So I beg you to get saved, amen. Call on the name of the Lord right now and be saved. Now, the final verse of Psalm 11, verse number 7, the final verse here, he said, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Can I say this? First of all, the righteous Lord. God's righteous. Now that word means right. God does everything right. God don't do shady deals. I'm so discouraged today about my brethren when you get to talk to them how shady some preachers, churches, and pastors are. God don't do all the shady business, fellas. God don't cut corners. God don't do things halfway. God does everything right. And if God's going to do it right, I think we ought to do it right. Amen. We should. We ought to do everything right. Amen. God's promises to the righteous would be like this, Psalm 92:12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Now, if you know anything about a palm tree, there's a great message in that, and there's a great message in the cedar tree. How that God has promised his promises to the righteous. Amen. The old palm tree, the older it gets, the more fruit it bears. Somebody said to me, well, you're getting old. That's all right. I'll bear my best fruit in my old age. Amen. Did you know what? Older age, I'm 57. That ain't so bad. I've got more wisdom, I hope, at 57 than I did at 27. I hope I do. And you pray for Brother Ricky. You pray that God will help me, amen, to be a better preacher, all right? Because I want to learn. I want to do all I can. But God loveth, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Did you know God loves it when you do right? Young people, God loves it when you do right. You're sitting there and Mama's told you not to go there. Mama's told you not to do that. Daddy's told you not to do that. But God loves it when you do right. Now, you may think Mom and Daddy's old. You may think they don't know what they're talking about. But they know they got your best interest in mind. You know, me and my brother couldn't swim. Neither one of us could swim. I remember several years ago, the neighbors had a swimming pool. And I wanted to go to that swimming pool. And Daddy said, no. Daddy said, no, you're not going to that swimming pool. You can't swim. No, you're not going to the swimming pool. Now, by the way, I was grown. I was 18-year-old. My daddy said, you ain't going to the swimming pool. I was living in his house. Now, let me say this to you. Amen. Let me say this to you. Thank God that I obeyed my daddy. Now, what if I'd have went over there at 18 years old? I was already saved. But what if I'd have went over there to that swimming pool and I'd have got drowned? I'd never got to preach a sermon. I'd never got to preach on the radio. I'd never got to work in radio. I'd never got to see all the people I've got to see and meet all the people I've got to meet. I'd have went to heaven with an unfulfilled ministry. Now, I'll tell you something. You can go to heaven quicker. Brother, I know it's appointed unto man once to die. I agree with that. But I tell you what, I think you can hasten your day. God knows exactly when you're going to die. But let me tell you something. You young people disobeying mom and daddy, you will die early. Young man, mama's told you about that crazy driving you do. You're in and out of traffic. You're speeding through curves. You say, oh, that's just mama. She's just, oh, okay. You're going to go around the curve one day. You're going to go off the side of a mountain. You're going to kill yourself, and you're going to go to heaven quicker. Now you say, preacher, I remember one day me and my mama went somewhere, and we came home, and mama knew this family. I didn't know them, and there'd been an accident up the road. A 16-year-old boy went out to meet God. 16-year-old, you know what he's doing? Driving too fast. Oh, my friend, listen to me. You hear me today. Amen. You had to obey the word of the Lord. God loves righteousness. He wants things done right. Amen. I don't know how I'm getting all that, but anyway, he wants things done right. Amen. Can I say this to you, that it is important for the children of God, amen, to have the presence of God in your life? But let me go back and get verse number 7. And I'm going to finish. This is the last part of the verse, so I'm going to finish this. He said, his countenance doth behold the upright. Now, if you're living right, then you're going to have the face of God shining on your life. Now, you can go through life as a Christian or as a believer. There's a difference between a Christian and a believer. I don't really like that word believer because the contemporary church is making too much out of it. But you say believer, believer, what are you believing in? All right. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. When you live right and you walk right, there's the presence of God on your life. He said the countenance. Let me just read that last part of verse number 7 again. The Bible said, his countenance doth behold the upright. His countenance doth behold the upright. If you're living right, God's face is shining on you. It's very important for the Christian to have God's presence in his life. Let me quickly read Exodus 33, verse number 14. The Bible said, and he said, my presence, this is God talking to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse number 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hither, or up hence. Now, you know what Moses just said to God? He said, God, if you ain't going with me, just don't carry me up. Lord, if your face ain't going to shine. I wish some of you preachers would get the place to where you didn't even want to preach unless you had God's power upon you. It's not your intellect. It's not your alliterated outline. It's not even an expository outline, okay? It don't have to be. Amen. Now listen, it's whatever God gives you in the manner. Now, by the way, I've got nothing wrong with preaching in order. I've got nothing wrong with an outline. I have pages of notes laying right here. I got nothing wrong with that. But I tell you, if an outline's all you got and an alliterated sermon is all you got, you ain't got much. You need to have the message of God. You need to have the presence of God. I wish God would burden some of our men again to get God's holy favor back on our lives. Let me just give you, and I'll have to run through these kind of quickly, but I'm going to close with an outline. And I'm going to give you the results of the presence of God. The results of the presence of God on your life. Here's the results of it. You say, preacher, what will it profit me to? Now, I'm saved. I've got the Holy Ghost. You sure do. But you can quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible said quench not the Spirit. You can limit the presence of God in your life. You sure can. Now, I'm going to use the word presence, and I'm going to give you these things, and I'll have to breeze through some of these, amen, because I don't want to take all day here, and then I'm going to close the message. Here's the results of God's presence. He said his countenance, he said, look on the upright. First of all, if you're going to have God, now this is not one of the points, but this is the introduction. If you're going to have God, you got to live right. You got to upright. That's the person that is upright. That's the person that's living right. You see, righteousness is downplayed in our hour. Holiness is downplayed in our hour. But we still need to ask, we're saying, not to go to heaven. But I live right because I'm going to heaven. I want to be holy because God is holy. It does matter how I dress. It does matter where I go. It does matter what I say. It does matter what I think. It does matter what I read. It does matter what I see. It does matter what I spend my time doing. And don't let any preacher tell you it don't. Now, all right, so here's the results of the presence of God. Number one, you'll have the power of God upon your life. Amen. Psalm 91:1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you have the presence of God, you will have the power of the Holy Ghost presence in your life. I put it this way, preachers. People can tell when you've been with God. And people can tell when you ain't. And they can tell it in your preaching. People can tell when you're with God, and people can tell when you ain't. Let me say the presence of God. Number two, you'll have a right spirit. When you have the very presence of God dwelling upon you, you'll have, Moses had the right spirit. Boy, I tell you what's the truth. Moses faced some battles, didn't he? One fella said if Moses and God ever got together, they'd have wiped Israel out. Amen. When God wanted to kill him, Moses didn't. And when Moses wanted to kill him, God didn't. But I tell you one thing, brother. You know the reason we've got so many men today in the wrong spirit. We don't have the presence of God on our lives. When you have God's holy breath on your life, you're going to have a right spirit. Remember James and John? And they wanted to call fire down out of heaven. And Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. My brother, God ain't. You said, praise God. I pray God kill every one of them. What kind of spirit's that? You get full of the presence of God. You may not beat the pulpit like Elijah and threaten people. You get the spirit of God, you'll be sweet. Amen. Well, the next thing you know what you'll do, you'll eschew evil. You'll avoid it. Job did. Read Job 1:1. Amen. There was a man that eschewed evil. You have the presence of God. The Holy Ghost, if you yield to God every 3 hours, you just breathe under your 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the day, 3 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening, 9 o'clock at night. If you just breathe, Lord, I submit myself to the Holy Spirit every 3 hours. I promise you this. You know what you'll do? You'll run from evil. Amen. You stay around evil long enough and sin will reach out and grab you, brother. Amen. You step your foot in mud and before long you're covered up in mud. Amen. And then we take the Scriptures. Amen. When you have the Word of God, the Scriptures was all to Moses. Amen. Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 30, verse number 10, he said, if thou shalt hearken thy voice. Let me go back. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now, that's what he said. You know what Moses wanted to do? He wanted them to turn with all their heart. He was a man. Job was a man that he loved the Scripture. The presence of God was on him. He said, I've esteemed them better than my necessary food. Amen. Well, then let me say this to you. Amen. Even the psalmist talked about that he wanted to, in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, let me take the next E. And we see when you've got the presence of God, you'll exercise self-control. Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit, talks about temperance. When you have God dwelling on you, you know, preachers are out of control. That's why preachers run off of piano players. Their sexual appetites, they let them get out of control. That's why preachers fall into pornography. That's why people fall. That's why churches get into trouble. That's why people steal money out of the treasury. Their appetite. They may be saved. But their appetite, you see, their appetite. Amen. I mean, they get to lusting after things, and a preacher gets involved in a lot of money, and he gets God's blessing his church, and a lot of money comes in. First thing you know, somebody takes $100,000. You know what that is? It's lack of self-control. You get the presence of God on you, amen, you won't have that problem. Then the end is near to God. And in John 13, I use this illustration a lot. John was nearer to Christ than Peter was. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this day, and I hope that you've enjoyed the radio broadcast this 21st, 22nd day of February. I hope you'll join us again next week, and of course, we'll start the month of March, amen? And we certainly thank God for you. Pray for us. Would you do that? If you want a copy of today's message, it's R453-35, all right? If you write for it, or we can send it to you free of charge on CD, or we can email you the message free of charge if you email us comments@gbiradio.org and let us know you want a copy of the message. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll look forward to talking to you next week. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together. All the time.
fed the multitudes, turned the water into wine to the hungry.